greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world, live from Hallelujah Acres, right here in Tennessee. Glad to have you aboard. Got a great program, part four tonight, of a racial covenant Israel, a people who have longed been stiff-necked and uncircumcised, always rebelling. Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're going to verse 3. And Yahweh said unto me, Ezekiel, the son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you part four of a rebellious house in racial covenant identity. Although we've been divorced, although we've been alienated, separated, there is still a love of a father. For if a mother forsakes her children, yet will not I, saith Yahweh. For I'm going to send you to an imprudent and stiff-hearted people. I do send you unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Yet thou shalt know, they shall know, that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Your foes will be those of your own household, ladies and gentlemen, the house of Israel. And neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, the children of Israel, and thou doest dwell among scorpions, the children of Israel. Can you imagine the language descriptive that a creator is given against his own people? If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will these scorpions, briars, and thorns be in the day that he makes up his crown? Where are you going to find yourself? And thou shalt speak my words unto them, and whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you tonight, if you will bear with us, we're going to into the Bible, and we're going to give you a covenant that has been confirmed with Jacob for a specific reason. Although the scorpions, the briars, and the thorns have growed and intensified among the rebellious, separated house of Israel that has been sent to the far country. In respect to the scriptures here, we're going to go to the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'm going to read you a covenant and a promise between two seeds. These seeds are related somewhat through their mother. It's like light and darkness emerging and then warring for the prize. Here's what we find in the 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. As we start here in the book of Genesis, notice here in the verse 27, come near, And he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of raiment. And he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which Yahweh hath blessed. Therefore, Yahweh, give thee the dew of the heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Now, why is he saying this to Esau? Well, he didn't say it to Esau, although he thought he was. This blessing is being said to Jacob the younger. Let people serve thee, and let nations bow down to thee, and be master over your brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob. Now remember, he thought he was blessing Esau. And here we find, dropping down for the sake of time, verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, that he had blessed Jacob, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came, speaking of Jacob, and he has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, have thou not reserved a blessing for me? Now my question is, where is this blessing recognized? Do you recognize the blessing of Esau, Edom? Ladies and gentlemen, a very small percentage, less than 1% of the world's population, again, through this seed that I'm talking about here tonight, they control 97% of its wealth. Now, if Israel had have been a obedient people, they would have ate the good of the land, they would have lent to nations, they would have filled the land with their seed, they would have been blessed going in and blessed going out. But what happened? Well, let's read on. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, after he said, have you give me a, have you got a blessing in your blessing bag for me? And Isaac said, I have made Jacob your master, and all of his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine did I sustain him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou not yet but one blessing? My father, bless me, even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the prophet that had the power to bless and the power to curse. And Isaac, remember now, Jacob was not his favorite. That was Rebekah's favorite, because she knew the plan. Jacob was old, Isaac was old, and yet his favorite son was Esau. And Esau said unto Isaac, please, father, give me a blessing. Isaac said, behold thy dwelling where he dwells. Now this blessing was for the last day. Shall be the fatness of the earth. On one side of Esau's bloodline is the Ishmaelite, because he married into the Ishmaelite family. And on the other side of Esau is the Canaanites, for he married into their family. Now here is the two-pronged attack against the covenant blessing racial identity people of Yahweh, his own sons and daughters. I will give you, behold, the dwelling that shall be rich. In other words, fatness is riches. And the dew of heaven from above will be a blessing. And by the sword, that's the side of Ishmael, and that seed, these are the Khazars. And by the sword thou shalt live, and thou shalt serve thy brother Jacob. And it shall come to pass, here's the key to this whole mystery of how they broke the yoke of the blessing that went to Jacob. Here's how they stole it back. It shall come to pass, this is the prophet Isaac, in verse 40 of chapter 27. It's a very important verse of our message tonight, the gospel that we're laying for you. And it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have a dominion, how did they get dominion, ladies and gentlemen? Through riches. How did they get riches? Through witchcraft and through sorcery. They have resigned to use any means available, and the love of money, being the root of all evil, became the power base, for they invented what we know today as a substitute for silver and gold, just weights and measures. When it shall come to pass, thou shalt have dominion, and thou shalt break his yoke. That's Jacob. That's the blessing of Israel. That's the blessing of the 12 tribes and the 13 scattered abroad. You shall break his yoke from off your neck. Now, my question to you is this. Upon realizing that he had lost his birthright, Esau caught Jacob alone and threatened to kill him as soon as his father Isaac died. Now, this terrified Jacob. Now, the first thing that we have to fear is fear itself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perfect love casts out fear. If Jacob had not have felt that he had got this blessing through deceit, actually, he stole it. But in a sense, it was his to start with, because Satan had first stole it from him. Rebecca, she heard the threat of Esau against Jacob. She sent Jacob to his uncle Laban at Padan Aram until Esau's anger abated, and also to seek a wife, as he had been charged by Isaac. Remember now, Esau got his wives from the seed of Ishmael and from the Canaanites and the Hittites. On Jacob's journey, you see, there's a great blessing when you are fleeing the very appearance of evil. Now, that's what Jacob was doing. Esau, at this time, was a threat and promised to kill him as soon as Isaac died. On his journey, he rested at a place called Bethel. Now, this place was not, as we know it, Bethlehem, Judea. See, part of the scheme of Esau Edom is to deceive you, mislead you, give you things that seem right as opposed to the things that are right. And so then, Satan can change the truth into a lie and make you believe it by setting a precedent, by giving you something that seems right, or setting before you a steady diet of mind conditioning that the house of Esau is now in control of all the news media in the world. Now, if I was to spend the rest of this hour telling you how wealthy these Khazar Edomites from the house of Esau have become, you would be quite surprised at the power and the wealth and the fatness of their dwelling. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't believe. We're talking about 97% of all the wealth in the world, mainly silver and gold, and the power of the Federal Reserve to use paper money through witchcraft and sorcery and create a substitute system and replace Yahweh's system of just weights so that they might gather together all of the wealth and the riches of the world. And that came about, ladies and gentlemen, by some maneuvering of these Esau Edomites, who gained first the sympathy after World War I and World War II, when they themselves planned the execution of some of their own. Now, the devil don't care to sacrifice. That's what he's all about: kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what happened in World War I and World War II. By the end of World War II, the sympathy and the outrage against the Aryan peoples of the world, mainly the Germans and those that fought on their side in World War II. There was three powerful presidents. One by the name of Stalin. He was an Edomite. The other by the name of Churchill, an Edomite. And the other by the name of Roosevelt, an Edomite. All three of these Edomites, masquerading as world leaders, appointed military generals. This is very appalling, ladies and gentlemen. The ones that they put in charge to mastermind the greatest scheme in the world, as they now have convinced the world that 6 million of God's chosen people people actually died in World War II. 6 million. Now, we have the facts before us here, and the figures don't bear out that many losses of those that were called Jews. They were actually the people of Edom. And by being people from Edom, they won sympathy as God's chosen people. And now the very people on the earth that should know better are the same stiff-necked and uncircumcised, destroyed for the lack of knowledge, people in the earth that have lent their power and their wealth. They have sacrificed through giving the charitable people, the blushing Aryan people who feel embarrassed about what happened in World War I and World War II, as these Esau Edomites gained through communication of media exchange and maneuvering their people into the powerful positions of the world's government, and the invention of the printing press, mainly for money and mainly for mind control. Ladies and gentlemen, they have perpetrated the greatest hoax that has ever been placed upon man. It is something that is so powerful that even the people of Yahweh will be deceived. It said that they shall deceive the very elect if possible. Now, the only reason that it's not completely possible to deceive all of Israel is exactly what Yahweh has promised those people that would be the remnant that Ezekiel was prophesying to. He said, I am going to send you to a people, and I want you to tell them, put the facts out there, tell them what it is. Although I'm going to send you among these stiff-necked people, they're not going to receive you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to talk evil about you, and they're going to say all of these evil things about you. And by doing so, you're going to be among the briars, and you're going to be among the scorpions and the foes that will resist you will be the very people that are supporting the Esau Edomites in thinking that they're God's chosen people, when indeed they're not. Now, does that change the covenant of Yahweh? No, it does not. Will it change what Yahweh has got a purpose for? No, it does not. What is his purpose? There is a punishment involved for rebellion. Rebellion, the Bible said, is as witchcraft. And so Satan on his side using witchcraft, and Yahweh's children on the other side using witchcraft, which side do you think is going to win? Who do you think is better at using witchcraft? Satan's seed or Yahweh's? Of course, Satan's going to win this battle every time. But let me remind you, as I told you last evening when we left off on Wednesday night, in the book of Romans, chapter 11, that blindness in part. Now, the yoke didn't completely break. There is a remnant holding the yoke and the covenant blessing of Jacob together. When Jacob slept on that stone and laid his head up on it, he entered into sleep in his flight away from Esau, Edom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a covenant revelation tonight to you. We have been fleeing. We're in panic. We're in fear of the control of Jacob Esau. We are now in a long spiritual sleep. Just like Jacob, in his flight from Esau, he went into a far country, a country that wasn't familiar to him. Here we left through rebellion in 721 B.C. We left in rebellion and finally found our place of comfort. We found the land of the confirmed covenant that Yahweh gave unto Jacob through Abraham, Isaac, passed down to Jacob, or to Esau, and, or to Isaac. And then when it got to Isaac, given the blessing, he had to give Esau one. It's strange that he spoke out of his mouth that they will come a day that you will break the yoke. Now, when was that? When did the yoke completely break to the point that Esau would rule Israel? Now, I'm talking about that little sandbox over there. This is diversion. This is why the dumb Israelites, the Christian nations, have been hoodwinked by the sly, cunning craftiness of Esau Edom. They have, over the years, very slowly induced a hypnotic trance and put Jacob to sleep. And we have been in this sleep since 1913. Since 1913, ladies and gentlemen, it was in 1950 that Jacob laid his hand, or his head, upon the stone. About 1950 A.D., we had the entering in of a faction of people who began to develop the instinct that if they would create a homeland for Israel, and instead of Israel, the true people going there, send the imposters, in this case, the Edomite Khazars, who had adopted the Jewish religion in 8 A.D. and had practiced it since then. So they were familiar with the laws of the Jewish religion, and they, as vagabonds, gypsies, were chosen and rounded up and volunteered to go to Palestine through the mandate of the United Nations, which was orchestrated by the engineering tactics of Esau Edom. It is wonderfully marvelous how these serpents are so wise and crafty. Now, why would that be? When we're dealing with dumb sheep, if you put a snake in the pasture with a sheep, which one do you think is going to survive? Sooner or later, the serpent who knows he's dangerous, who knows he's a killer, who knows he has charm, he's going to strike the sheep. And the sheep is going to fall. And the serpent is going to prevail. But lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, there's a shepherd. Hold it right there. We got the sheep, that's the body. We got the snake, That's the enemy. We know which one is going to rule. We know which one's going to win. The dumb sheep, a rebellious, stiff neck. They're not going to hear the word. They're blind and dumb. But there is a shepherd. How shall they hear without the shepherd? And how shall the shepherd preach or teach except he be sent? And faith comes by hearing. There is going to come a remnant already raising up. And I personally am acquainted with quite a few people around the country, given the privilege of speaking on radio worldwide for the years that I have done this, and I have done it for several years. But the planting of the call, of the shepherd's call, going out to those who are worthy, who are tired of waiting for the blessings to be restored, waiting for the yoke of Esau now placed upon the neck of Israel through blindness and stupidity and through penalty of rebellion. This yoke will fall from the neck of Israel. There's coming a deliverer. Oh my, I get excited every time I read this in the book of Romans, one of my favorite chapters. There shall come out of Zion, that is the body of the house of Israel, a deliverer. Now, we're not talking about a single prophet or a last day prophet, as some of these preachers like to brag and go on. We're talking about a spirit unifying the house of Israel and shaking his bones out of the dry valley. Going to resurrect him from the sleeping tombs of Christianity. We're going to open our doors of our heart one more time. We're going to sit and relearn our covenants. And they're ratified never to be broken. Although the yoke was broken off the neck of Esau, Edom, and the same yoke that was on him went on Israel until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that time is coming to a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Now, this scripture is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, and verse 7. There we find that Jacob will go through a purging, a cleansing, bloodshed, persecution. But a diamond is only mined through pressure. Israel is the diamond of Yahweh. It is the master jewel in the crown. As a matter of fact, it is the only jewel in the crown of Yahweh. And so by sleeping, Yahweh appeared to Jacob in a vision. At some point along the line, as Israel sleeps, thinking that the Jews are God's chosen people, supporting and giving them the sympathies that Esau has gotten from these individuals known as Israel. So the very snake is now the shepherd of the dumb sheep, leading them in a way. Oh, my people, they that lead you cause you to err. I call for you, but you would not. Therefore, your house, Israel, is left unto you desolate. This is the breaking of the yoke in 1913. When we had the introduction, the Jew, the greatest scheme in the world to bring wealth to a few people, mainly Esau, Edom, they have caused a sleep for Israel, and we have slept peaceably since 1913. In the time that Jacob slept, Yahweh appeared to him in a vision. It's now time for Israel to receive the end time deliverance vision, to break the yoke from off their neck and put it where it rightly belongs, to lose our conscience of guilt. You know, some of the greatest psychologists in the world are the very people who have helped put us in a sleeping trance through their suggestion, through charging us with the guilt, and being guilty through their psychology. We have now lowered ourselves lower than any of the races in the earth, because we think that we deserve to be there. That we think that we deserve to be the rug that they walk on. Right now, in our system in America, those of the lesser class, it's like the sons and daughters of Yahweh are now third-class citizens. And the strangers or the offspring of Esau, Edom, they are now sitting in the positions of authority, and they rule over us. But isn't that what Yahweh said would happen? In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27, didn't he prophesy to these rebellious people that their nations would be overcome with the strangers? And they would come in, since we wanted to be like them, since we wanted to let our daughters and our sons marry into their bloodlines. Yahweh caused us to forget his laws and covenants. We were a whoring after the god of Canaan, Baal. The universal god, the god of this world. And tomorrow night, we're going to close out our series under the fifth heading of the racial covenant identity of Israel. We're going to talk about how that we have become spiritual rugs for the devil to walk on through universal psychology. Brought to you courtesy of a church that is located in the Bible in Revelation chapter 17. We're going to get into it in depth and teach you about universalism. Universalism declares that we're all one blood, that God loves all people regardless of race, creed, or color. But is that true? Well, we're going to find that out in discussing how that Esau, Edom has broke the yoke, basically by universal theology, making us feel guilty for lesser races or lesser blessed races, because the blessing was to the house of Israel. As long as they would walk upright before him and serve him and love him and keep his commandments, he would make them the head. But when they rebelled, when they became scorpions, when they became briars and thorns, He said, I will make you the tail and not the head, and your enemies will rule over you. Until, now here is the promised covenant that keeps Pastor Buddy with my feet on the ground and my patience and an old chicken heart. At my age, I've seen a lot of water, spiritually speaking, run over the dam of life. But as David said, I was once young and now I am old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed of begging bread. Now we're talking about the spiritual bread. There is a famine. Not for bread and water, but for hearing of the word and those who would stand up. In the last days, in the awakening of the morning, as Jacob awoke from his dream or his vision, and here's what it said, I am Yahweh, the mighty one of Abraham your father, and the mighty one of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give, and to thy seed. And to thy seed shall become as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And everybody thinks that the Jews have went home to the Middle East. There's three more points of the compass that haven't even been considered. Ladies and gentlemen, that little sandbox could not contain one fraction of the depth and the breadth and the height of this covenant that cannot be disannulled. Although Esau, Edom, will break the yoke of the dumb sheep, of the wayward straying sheep, the disobedient, rebellious house of Israel, who deserves, as the prophet said, let Esau, Edom pile up and down their back with whips and chains, produce shame upon the red, blushing people's face of Jacob Israel for their transgressions. As required. And he said, my heavenly Father, I blush because we have forsaken your covenant and went out and married into strange families in the earth. Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, universalism has allowed the evil doctrine of blasphemy, the mixing of the blood. That is a cardinal, unforgivable sin of blasphemy against Yahweh. Tomorrow night we're going to take it up and we're going to tell you exactly what the consequences for Jacob has become. You're living right now probably at the crossroads of which way this thing's going to go. The question that Yahweh asked, he said, will I find faith upon the earth when I return? The question is, will I? And I, as a prophet of Yahweh, a minister of Yahweh, with the faith that was delivered unto me, with a resounding yes, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer that will turn Jacob from his sins, just as he woke up from his sleep and had a renewal of the covenant that Yahweh had given his fathers before him. Ladies and gentlemen, the time of the Gentiles, and that's why I believe, and I've talked to brothers around the country that would agree with me and have confirmed some of my suspicions, that there is a specific astrological time that the devil believes that he has to move and move quickly because the signs are right. In 20 and 12, the astrological astrological signs are perfect to introduce once again the father of the seed of Esau, Edom, to return to this earth. Now, there is coming a future time when the father of the seed of Jacob, Israel, will return for his rebellious sons and daughters, for there shall come a deliverer and turn Jacob from his ungodliness. There will be a praying, accepting remnant of the house of Jacob, and the answer to the question that the Messiah, will there be faith, and a resounding yes. And it's got to be you. If it's to be, it's up to you and to me to maintain the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I'm beginning to feel the anointing. It's coming down like a warm sheet as the vision is now enlarging into my mind that Jacob Israel is about to emerge from the cocoon of a caterpillar. And ladies and gentlemen, he's going to have the wings of spiritual flight. He's going to be so perfect and without fear. He's going to light right up on the nose of Jacob, his enemies, which is Esau, Edom. And he's going to proclaim that blindness has passed in the house of Israel. And then you'll see something marvelous. They, upon the awakening of the morning, Jacob knew that he had been in the presence of Yahweh on the morning that we awake. On the set time that there shall come a deliverer when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, a final push toward the securing of the kingdom of the earth to unify it into a one world order for Satan's seat to be set in a place that the whole church of Revelation 17 and the whole church of Revelation chapter 3 verse 9, these two emergence of universal philosophy and deceit will bring about a temple to be rebuilt in the Middle East, in the city of Jerusalem, the place of the blasphemer of Satan. It is the city of the Canaanites. It is a city where your Savior was crucified. It is a city called Sodom in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelations. It is a city that will be set in all of its array with the Herodites of the Esau Canaanites sitting in the seat, and the father of that seed himself will be center stage. He will sit through the sympathies of Jacob. Jacob himself is guaranteeing the end climatic vision that Jacob had upon the mountain at Bethel, that Yahweh pronounced through Jeremiah, the weeping prophet of Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, in line with the two scriptures tied hand in hand of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 27. These two powerful, revealing scriptures of the last day coming through the shepherds that are coming back to awaken the sleeping sheep from their slumber that Yahweh put upon them until the times of the Gentiles fulfilled. We are in the era of time that Satan is coming to his kingdom. That mighty father of the seed of Esau, Edom, coming back to be adorned by his seed and his people. The philosophy of universalism has guaranteed him a seat with no opposition. And when he feels safe and secure, when he knows that he has but a short time, he's coming back to sit in the temple as God, Jesus Christ, himself. And so he will proclaim that he's Jesus Christ. And the Christians who are dumb, led away with the error of the wicked, will go up to Jerusalem to worship at his feet. Just like they do the papal throne of Rome, which will be moved from Rome to Jerusalem. Watch for it. In the coming years of the final encampment or the final push to destroy the elect from the earth. My question. Except these days be shortened, there shall be no flesh of Jacob Israel, the blushing Aryan Israelites, of a seed born out of the blood of Yahweh, who is the father of Jacob. Our father will come after the coming of Satan. The coming of Satan will be marvelous. The press will really, they will really play it up. They will really have a press field day, as the old saying goes down here on planet Earth. And the very elect will be taken. All the churches will rejoice at the coming of Satan. Everyone whose names are not on the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to see in that day who's who and who's a Jew, who's a Christian, and who's a Yahwist. You'll know then those that follow a false god and their allegiance supporting the god of this world instead of Yahweh. Oh, they come before you as my people. They sit before you as my people. They say and they do not. This is a rebellious house, Ezekiel Yah. We've got these idiots that want to use different names, you know, for the creator of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, there's so much knowledge that is to be fulfilled in the prophecies. You'll see the true prophets. You'll know the name in that day because you'll hear a voice behind you say, come, this is the way. Walk in this way is the clean way. This way is the holy way. No unclean thing that defiles itself, that comes out with strange wildfire, or deny the name that's in 7,000 times to keep a name that ain't even 500 years old. This is how dumb the sheep who are victims of Esau, Edom, who could deceive the very elect. If possible. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got to go. But I have enjoyed the time with you tonight. Yahweh's richest blessings be upon you. If you'd like to write me, you can write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. This is 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423 626-2172. Leave me a message at the office. And send me a card or a letter and tell Pastor Petty you'd like to have this series of the racial covenant identity of the true Israel. If you'd like to have it, just send me a card or call me. You can call me live here tonight. I'm at Hallelujah Acres. That's area code 423-338-1972. You can call me here tonight. Radio, I need to hear from you. It's essential. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul, and we need your help to carry on this message of the awakening and the last days of the sheep. It's a calling of the shepherds, and it's a shepherd's call with Pastor Buddy and all those who love Yahweh. Send our love towards you and ask you to wake up when Yahweh is sending a message to you. Tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 3.185. I'll see you at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll kick it off on WWRB around the world on the Transmitting Journal South with part 5 of Racial Covenant Israel, with universalism as the gestalt topic that we will discuss tomorrow night. Until then, may Yahweh bless you, and I love you.